A warm welcome to Disky Talk with Luyolo. If you're tuning in for the very first time, I ask that you please subscribe and hit the notification bell. If you've been a part of the journey, I hope you thoroughly enjoy this episode. So, on today's episode, we discuss all things Olympics. However, before we get into that, I'd like to introduce my two very special guests. My first guest goes by the name of Koketso. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
All is well. How do you feel being the first Disky Queen on the podcast?
I'm always the first in everything, so this is not new.
Ooh.
Wow.
There you go.
And the man to the right of me goes by the name of Caesar. How are you doing, brother?
Good, my brother. How are you?
Ah, all is well. Thank you very much for...
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. Glad to have you on. So, guys, let's get straight into it. The Olympics. The first question that I have for you, I'll start with you, Koketso. What do you make of the Olympics from a footballing perspective, being a senior men's tournament? Do you think, being an under 23 tournament rather, with the exception of three overage players, do you think that it works in that way, or do you think it would be better if it was a senior men's tournament?
I think so. We already have the FIFA World Cup, that's already a senior men's tournament, right? So I think the Olympics are doing quite a good job with the under 23 tournament, and only like a few, maybe three players who are over 23, right?
Yeah.
And it sets the tone for the next two World Cups to come. So now countries can actually see what's happening. You know, they can actually, it's like a forecast for the next two World Cups to come. So I'm good with that rule. In terms of the whole tournament, I think it's good also because now you get senior teams, or senior players rather, who play in their own leagues, right? Who also have like international breaks in between, and now they get to play the Olympics. I think it's too much, it's a strain. So rather it be a youth tournament.
So I'll swing this question to you then, Caesar. We did touch on the overage rule, where you're allowed to have three players over age. What do you make of that rule and how it impacts the Olympics?
No, for me personally, I think, you know, just to touch on what she said, basically, I think it's great that it's under 23. I mean, obviously, you know, these boys between the gap, you're under 20 all the way to the senior team, you need some sort of a huge platform,
a global stage
where these guys get a feel of that. Obviously, now with the pandemic and everything, the fans are not the same, the atmosphere is quite different, but you get a sense of being that senior player on a big stage. I mean, you guys are Olympians now, you know what I mean? So, but for me personally, for this under 23 situation, and then you have overage players, I mean, honestly speaking, I got no feet. But I mean, bro, you couldn't break into Bafana. Don't disturb the young boys. Let them play the Olympics, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, it's a whole thing. The senior players might help the boys, you know, in terms of stage fright.
Yeah.
I say bullshit. You know what I mean? Give these young boys a chance. Also, you want a situation where kids can be kids as a group. You don't want that thing, Uti. Season Loyola, the senior players, oh shit, here they come. At breakfast, these wannas can't have noodles anymore. You know, kids must be kids in an environment where they all grow together, because the very same squad that is probably playing the Olympics now might be our next AFCON squad or the next World Cup squad.
Yeah.
So you need those guys to grow together like that. You know what I mean? Not a sense of Uti, there's a house father, Uspehile, or, you know, these guys watching us. You know, we can't even say certain things in camp. You know? Maybe the boys want to FIFA it out, maybe throughout the night, if they're not playing the next day, of course. I mean, gents, please rest, But if they're chilling the next day and it's about swimming, then others must PlayStation it out until, you know, the morning, you know, and not worry about, hey, that senior player is going to tell the coach. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, I'm talking about like the simplest ways of putting it. Guys must grow up together in an environment where they're not judged.
Yeah.
But also, from the football side of things, I think it's great that it's under 23. You know, it forces these boys to step up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think also, because, I mean, locally, not a lot of these guys are getting the big stage, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are in NFT. It's not televised sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
If it is televised, you have to make sure Mama had a recorder very quickly.
Yeah.
Mama recorder. So that the daughter gets to see himself on TV. So I think from a footballer's perspective, it's great for them mentally.
So my qualm with regards to the rule, I always feel like it's either we're left or we're right, you know. So I don't advocate for the rule. I'd do away with the rule of having three overage players, and I'd keep it strictly under 23.
My chat's
you know, I'd really keep it strictly under 23.
I'm good with the
and
overage.
Actually, I like the fact that certain teams who have gone to the Olympics in previous years gone by, some coaches have opted not to go with the senior player and they go with the under 23s. And like you mentioned, that it gives them the fortitude and the opportunity to experience a world-class stage together, you know. And I think, because if we have to be honest, is that sometimes it can cause a bit of certain friction within the squad. Especially because when you're playing the qualifiers, you don't have overage players.
Exactly.
You understand?
So now, that's another point. Yes, that's another point I'm putting in. Uguti, I qualify playing with Loyola at right back.
Yeah.
He's my boy, you know. We grew up together. It's fine. You know, even when we go out for whatever we do.
Yeah.
I'm with him. And then now comes, come the official tournament. Now there's another hot man.
Yeah.
At left back. And I'm like, but dog, you didn't help us qualify.
And he's starting.
And he's starting. He's got some sort of preference. And sit down. You didn't do enough. You didn't make Bafana. Sit down. You know what I mean? I have a young kwa with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's very unfortunate. It's similar to, okay, but that's local football. But as an example, like, you find youngsters that promote a team into the PSL or whatever. And then the moment that team is in the PSL, now they're signing 34-year-olds, Tuni, Mang-Mang-Yeo. And I'm like, but that's unfair on the people that actually put you there. Exactly. So the same way, like, that some of these boys helped us qualify for these games, let them go and play.
They're the ones that deserve to play.
I agree with you guys, right? It helps with, like, development and stuff. But we also have to understand the Olympics as a whole, right? You guys need to understand that the lights, they are so bright, right? You are in the same dining hall as Kevin Durant, like, all the athletes are there.
Okay.
You do need a few senior players just to keep you in check, just for discipline. I'm not saying they should play, but you need someone to be like, no, go to your room. No, go sleep at 9. We have a game tomorrow morning. Don't get carried away. Because guys need to understand that everything is free there. Okay. Free food, free stuff. They even got free cell phones. You know what I mean? Like, everything is just so bright. All you have to do is just focus on your craft. But I would get carried away.
Okay.
If I was in the same room as, like, your Serena Williams, everyone, I want to talk to them. I want to get to know them. But always remember where you're from. Why are you here?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, always remember
why are you here.
We all know kids get excited, guys. Okay.
But I think for me...
You need that experience to be like, nah, dude.
I'm with it. You know, I get where she's coming from that perspective.
Yeah.
But I still believe that, you know, it's such a huge stage. It's a global stage. Obviously, as a youngster from Gwamashu or Imlazi or even Mopirana.
Yeah.
But as a youngster from around here, and you know, with the... Everyone's watching me. You low-key know that I have to make or break, you know?
Yeah.
So I get the whole getting carried away vibe, but I still believe that give the kids a chance, you know, without any guardianship.
So what I will say to your point is I acknowledge that. However, there's always a leader within the young squad. Even young guys can lead, you know?
Okay,
so that's their opportunity. Because I'm also glad that from a South African standpoint that they didn't give the armband to Ronwyn Williams and that Malepe is still the captain.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to take responsibility away from the young guys. However, before we move on to the next segment, viewers at home, please do weigh in on this. Do you guys think that we should have the under-23 rule with regards to the overage players? Or strictly under-23s with regards to Olympics. So, let's move on to the next segment. Egypt. So, Egypt wanted to have Mohamed Salah at the Games. However, Liverpool denied him the opportunity to represent his national team. What do you make of that?
Yeah, shout out to Egypt. Hey,
yes.
Man, Liverpool. Shout out to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Because also, I mean, bruv, this is Mohamed Salah. UEFA Champions League, check. The English Prem, check.
Yeah.
I mean, top scoring guy, I give the guy a break, man. You know, let the guy relax. And also, another thing with regards to that, with regards to national teams that decline those kind of requests from the clubs that decline those kind of requests. I say it's a good thing because, quite frankly, bro, if you look at the international calendar compared to the Premier League, including Abo FA Cup and UEFA and everything, you don't want a situation where your star is injured because of a tournament where he shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? And also, from a Mohamed Salah perspective, I also wouldn't go. Because now you're injured, it's preseason, the coach is setting up for the next year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here you are, you're injured. Yes, we know you're Salah, but I mean, it's football, my champion.
Yeah.
Something could happen.
Yeah.
Way, Loyola decides this year I'm picking up, you know, I want to make sure I'm hot. Yeah. But if Loyola's hot and you're busy injured there with youngsters, I say it's good that he's not in the Egypt squad. I say Liverpool took a very good decision. I mean, they pay his wages, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you want value for your rack. You
yeah.
know? So let the guys sit and also it's very good for the clubs to have some sort of early what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, what I meant.
Preseason.
Yes, not the preseason, but that whole early vibe. Yeah, the vibe where the guys are together quite early.
Yeah.
So that all the jitters come off, you know, and the team starts gelling, so that when the season chemistry. Starts, yes, the chemistry is what that's the word. Chemistry.
Yeah.
Where the team has started early, no one was late, and everyone is just on the same wavelength because they've got a lot to gain or lose.
Yeah.
Depending on that. So I think it's good. And also it gives Egypt a chance to give another Salah a chance who might have come through and actually said, put his hand up and said, this is who I am. This is what I want to do for the national team.
Yeah. So from a Liverpool perspective, I totally understand why. Let's look at Liverpool and the past season they had.
Exactly.
Injuries. You know, injury ravaged season, you know. So most of their key players were injured. You know, so I think they were throwing caution to the wind because you don't want to start a season where potentially Van Dijk might not start the season, potentially Gomez might not start the season, Salah goes off and then maybe he's fatigued or he picks up a knock, then he can't start the season, then it's the previous season all over again.
Yeah, you so, hit the ground running.
Yeah. So I understand why Liverpool haven't. A, B, the Olympics don't fall part and parcel of FIFA. So they don't have to acknowledge that because it's not part of the FIFA calendar because it's the Olympics, a different federation. So I totally understand why. It's just from a player's perspective, on the other side of the coin, why I'd like to have a look at it is like he really wanted to go. And if you have a look at how Egypt performed against Spain the other day, one could say that they did miss Mohamed Salah. However, I'm with you guys on that I'm glad that Liverpool were able to take a stand because some of these clubs can get strong-armed by their star players, you know, and then they feel like we have to let him go. Also, we have to take into consideration that the AFCON is coming up, so they'll have to let him go for that. So we can't let you go for the AFCON and for the Olympics. You know, it's a bit too much. But anyway, Koketso, what's your take on that?
I agree with Cizwe. I think let him rest. So for me, rest is a big thing. So because even if
rest,
let him rest. Especially you know the season that Liverpool had last season was they didn't have depth.
Yeah.
You know, most of the key players actually got injured. So rather let your key players like your Mohamed Salah, your key goal scorer. You know what I mean? So let him rest. And even if he doesn't pick up, so let's say he played right. So even if he doesn't pick up an injury at the Olympics, your body is so worn out that when the season comes, you're so tired, it's so easy for you to get an injury.
Yeah.
You know, so rather preserve your body for, I don't want to say things that actually matter. You know what I mean? But like with Olympics, it's for the youngsters, like we said. So as a senior player, just rest.
Yeah.
And get ready for next season. And like you said, AFCON.
AFCON is coming up
and
as well.
And the English Premiership is demanding on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite demanding.
And it's not just English. There's UEFA as well on top of that.
Yeah.
There's local, domestic.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
So moving on to the next segment and speaking about senior players, Dani Alves at the age of 38.
Okay.
Holds the armband for Brazil. What are your thoughts on that?
So not to be contradictory or anything, but I think, okay, fine, dude. You've got a 38-year-old who's done it all, basically. Alves is one of the most decorated footballers in world football.
Yeah.
I think this is something that he can do. You know, if we're going to talk about discipline and senior players, that's a senior player again.
But discipline also...
Yeah, no, let's put that aside. I'm just saying from an experience perspective.
Yeah.
I think it's good that Alves is there. I mean, listen, dude, it's Alves, you know?
Yeah.
Get him in there. He's in his final year, basically.
Yeah.
I don't want to say years because year.
Yeah.
It's his final year. You know, let the man lead the boys one more time. You know, I think that one's not too bad. But because also, you look at his football currently, it's not as demanding as the other guys that we're doing, like Salah that we just spoke about. So that's Alves. I think for him it's not bad, and also it's just, you know, some sort of a throw him in there kind of situation.
So personally, what I love about Alves, I love his personality, and he's very much like those young boys with regards to his persona and with regards to his youthful exuberance as well, you know. And also when I look at how he led them the other day, when they managed to smash Germany 4-2. And I was very happy with his performances. He was actually in the team of the week for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And also looking at how he's able to get a control of that team, you know, and how he doesn't even have to say anything. But by virtue of the fact that his name is Danny Alves, he commands that respect, you know. And you look at style of play, we touched on persona. So I like Alves in that mold because this is now perfect, because you've got a guy who's at the end of his career, who's been there, done it, seen it all, got the t-shirt. You've got guys starting out. So it's opposite end spectrums, and you've got this guy who's leading them. So it's sort of him ushering them through now and saying, boys, this is what you can achieve.
Yeah.
Me too. I don't think he's there to play. He's just there for guidance. You know what I mean? He's there for guidance. He's not there to pick up minutes. And I think he knows his role as well. Mm. Like, listen, I'm just here to keep you guys in check. You know? And I'm not saying you guys are going to go astray. But should you, I'll be here. If you need guidance, I'll be here. If you need advice, I'll be here. And I can tell you where you guys should improve.
Yeah.
I like his role there.
Yeah, I think it's very important.
Yeah, so from Brazilians to the French, who actually lost 4-1 to Mexico, which is quite disappointing, actually. What do you guys make of them leaving out so many big-name players who are under the age of 23, who are eligible to play? What do you make of that? Do you feel like they were giving a certain younger group a chance? Or do you feel like we felt that we didn't need those big-name players? Your players like Dayot Upamecano, Ibrahima Konate, you got Guendouzi, Asim Aouar, just to mention a few. Those players... Those are players who have been left out.
I think, personally, I think also it's very important that you understand that as much as we may be age mates, we're on different levels. Mbappe is on Mbappe level. And the other boys are on their level. And as much as they're all the same age, I think it's very important that those that couldn't touch Mbappe's status as early as he did get also a chance on a big stage.
Yeah.
I think it's important that, like I said, we can't contradict ourselves now. We just spoke of rest, you know.
Yeah.
Mbappe, PSG, I think Udale won't come again. You know, Udale won't come again. And then, you know, now World Cup, he played every Euros. And now I can't only Mbappe.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just think it's very important that you understand that. I mean, we play development football, Lulu. I think it's very important that we understand the gift of opportunity. You know, it's very important that these boys also get a chance. You know, I'm very big on opportunity. In every aspect of my life, I really believe that it's like you can't speak on something that you haven't experienced.
You know?
So it's very important that these boys get a touch of it. It's I'm not saying everyone must go out there and win everything at all costs. Obviously, the aim is to win. I mean, that's why we're in sports. You know? But I think it's also very important that you build. You know, and I'm not talking about Vision 34. I'm about Vision 2034 with South Africa. No, I'm talking about like visions that you can see. You can see that the boys are right there. So let's give them that chance. You know, let's test everyone out quickly. I mean, they are a World Cup winning nation.
Yeah.
So they must be thinking about the next World Cup.
Next generation.
How they identify the next generations.
Yeah.
And these are the perfect players. You can't put Mbappe. What are you identifying? Mbappe won the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know?
But
so,
I would have
what's
loved.
Your take?
Exactly. I would have loved Mbappe to be there. And for me, it's just a chemistry thing. We all know that he's very good in this game called football, right?
Yeah.
But I would have loved to see him there. Just so he can play with the upcoming team. Like I said, you know, the Olympics are actually like a setting stone for the next World Cup. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I would have loved him to play with the squad. And I'm not saying all the games.
Yeah.
Right? But when he needs to be there, just chip him in.
Yeah.
But like you said, rest also. Because, you know, there's league. Right? And then he had the Euros. But also the Euros, they got knocked out early. So he had time to rest a bit.
Not too early though.
So,
what I'll say with that is because of the current crop of French footballers, right? I would have loved for them to incorporate the names that I'd mentioned, the Mbappes as well, because that is the next generation.
Yeah.
We forget that Mbappe is from that generation.
True.
Exactly.
And that he's not from the generation of the Pogbas and the.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, he is by virtue of the fact that he's very talented.
Yeah.
But age wise, I would have loved
yeah.
for him to play with those guys. And I would have loved for them to actually go out and try win the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, because the last time when Brazil won in 2016, they had Neymar there. And that's because Neymar was from the generation of the Marquinhos and all those guys.
Yeah.
And he played with his generation as well. yes, we do understand that he was good enough to play with the older guys, but also at times just
friends.
bring them back and go and win, because for me it's about winning. Yeah. So if the French could actually go out and try win the Olympics by actually fielding a very competitive squad, you know, just to also try and redeem themselves of that showing at the
Yeah. I think that's very important, yeah, actually, that you mentioned that in terms of him playing with his age mates as well, as much as, and it's contradictory, but a wise man hears all perspectives.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking is, right, in terms of the humility aspect of it, you know, youngsters, big players, big hits.
Yeah.
You know, and then now you're going to play in Abuluyolo, your age mates, you're like, ugh. Lulu, pass, dude. You know, Pompa would never do that to me.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's, yes, you guys are right in that aspect.
Yeah. Also,
him playing with them at a young age also has, he gets that respect for them, you know?
Yeah.
That these are still my teammates, even at a later stage where they were now World Cup squads or they are, you know, another Euro squad. In that aspect, from the humility perspective, I get that. I just felt like, guys, I want to see fresh faces
everywhere
I go. You know, I'm very much for the fresh faces. Like, who's this guy? Because that's how we discover everyone, you know?
Mm.
Now, Mbappe were discovered at some point.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. So, you know?
I'm all about discovery. Like, what's fresh? What's new? Let's put this in there. Let's try things out.
Yeah.
You know?
So, viewers at home, please do weigh in on this one as well. This is quite the debatable topic. What do you guys make of players who are world-class but underneath the age of 23? Do you think they should be going to the games? Or do you feel like they should be preparing with their teams? So, next segment. This one ties it all up. Because this is a player who is world-class, underneath the age 23. He's played lots of minutes, but he finds himself at the Olympics. And he goes by the name of Pedri. He played at the Euros. He played for Barcelona. If I'm not mistaken, the game against Egypt was his 66th game. I speak under correction. So,
take everything.
Yeah, it was his 66th game. He averages a game every 4 days in this past season. What do you guys make of Pedri's talent with regards to how fast his star is rising and his stock? And what do you make of him being a part and parcel of the Olympic squad for the Spanish national team?
I think in that aspect for me, the way I see it is that they're obviously seeing a very, very talented young man. And a guy of his caliber, it's more of a strike while the iron's hot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, like you said, it balances things out. If you were to put it in the French perspective, it's not Mbappe yet, but it's also not too low.
Yeah.
He's in a position where he can take Spanish football
to
another level. So you obviously want to see more and more and more of him, and so that you keep him going, you know? Shout out to the sponsors. She says your juice is nice. But like I'm saying, you know, he's at a point where you have to strike. And also, Spain doesn't have that smooth transition that we see with other national teams. I mean, you see Germany's coming alive, France is coming alive, you know? But with them, then Abu Shavi, and then I think he's that young bridge there between just that slight hope between the Xavi revolution. Because even the way he gelled Nabo Alba as well as Alaba and Busquets and all those guys, you can see that he's coming cleanly, you know. He's that young boy that's gonna bridge that young gap, you know what I mean? Because you don't want too much of a space between Abo Iniesta and what's happening now.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they're trying to play him as much as they can, so that he's able to bring those two sides of the coin together.
Yeah.
I agree with him. And considering the fact that just generally, right, Spain is like the Barcelona squad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm going to speak as a Barca fan.
Okay? Oh, my God.
I would love this guy to rest. And for me, this is for like the upcoming season, right? The World Cup is next year.
Yeah.
So let's not forget that. So now he's played the Euros, right? Okay, let's forget. It's La Liga. It's the Champions League. It's the Euros. Now Olympics. Now La Liga again.
Yeah.
Champions League. And now World Cup. Where's he going to rest? Yes, he is he's quite talented, right? And the Olympics, these are his age mates. We spoke about this with Mbappe as well. But when is he going to rest? Because right after Olympics, it's preseason.
Yeah.
And then the season starts again. So when is he going to rest? I think this summer should be his resting period. But I do understand why they put him in the squad.
Yeah. So, you know what I like about Pedri being involved in all the competitions for the Spanish national team? What I love about it, at that age, and you'll know very well, and those who have played football at a competitive level, and also being a youngster, youngsters thrive on momentum.
Exactly.
So the more you play, the better. And Pedri's at a development stage, right? So he needs game time. He needs to be playing at the highest level. And that will only bode well for Barcelona. And when you have a look at Pedri's career, even through the ranks of Barcelona, he's not an injury-prone kid. Very strong. Yeah. As much as he's got a small body and he's scrawny, but he's very strong. And for me, if anything, it bodes well for him. Because what this does then for the for Barcelona is that when he returns, it's about a week or two, the league starts. He hits the ground running. So from that perspective, because of the age, I advocate for it. If he was older, it's a different ball game, right?
Because now your body is
I go back to the comparison between him and Mbappe.
Yeah.
Whereas Mbappe is somewhat a senior player because of how long he's gone through and both PSG and the French national team. Whereas with Pedri, this is a young man. You need to go. We can't treat him like someone that needs to rest. Salah needs to rest.
Needs to rest.
Our runway for South Africa need to rest. You know, SuperSport, he played all the games. I'm talking NetBank.
Since 2017, 2018.
Those are guys. When we speak of rest, those are guys we speak of.
Yeah.
But when we speak of a young man that is coming through and actually saving Spanish football, and I say saving, I don't stand to be corrected.
Wait, what?
I'm saying he's going to save it. No, I'm talking about like bridging that gap that I spoke of earlier. He can come in and we need that momentum for him. You know, I think it's very important that he keeps that going. He's young.
Let the boy play. Because the thing is, right, we go back to the nuance we're speaking about being a kid.
Yeah.
Kids want to play.
Exactly.
Let him run. Let him play, you know. And if anything, the amount of experience which is gaining. And also you have to realize that these federations, right, they're not like SAFA. There's an actual vision, you know, going forward.
And just throw numbers. Vision 2049. You need to sit down. What the hell are we doing?
So, with them and the Spanish Federation, and when you look at Pedri, and I think that they want to build Spanish football around him. They want to make him the captain. Right. But the only way we can make this guy the captain, the only way we can make him the pillar of this team is if he's got experience.
Mm.
And that's if him gaining experience by playing Olympics, playing Euros, playing Barcelona, and he doesn't need rest. He needs to play.
I agree with you guys, actually. I'll take my statement back. Yeah, it makes sense because even like younger players, like you said, right? So the more they play, the more they get comfortable, they get to the system. And, you know, Spanish football and the way Barca plays, it's quite similar.
If not
very... You know what I mean? Like, so rather... I take my statement back.
We reason.
Makes sense,
But anyway, let's move on to the extra time segment, my favorite segment on Disky Talk with Leolo. In the extra time segment, we're going to have a look at the under 23s, South Africa.
It's not the same anymore.
But anyway, what do you guys make of our performance against Japan? That's where we can start.
I won't lie, I had high hopes.
Yeah.
I had quite high hopes. I think also because of the way the team... Obviously, the team suffered its own setbacks. I mean, the exclusion of Umbule.
Yeah.
You know, that's a boy that played quite well for SuperSport. I think it was gonna help a lot. And also his partner in crime, Tebo Hoshem, he was alone. You know what I mean? So, Utebo Samukwena was alone. And I think... The boys are good, you know. I think what's unfortunate about it and what I've seen is that it's the whole chemistry situation, you know. I think these boys play miles apart. I mean, others are lay, abanye bali, you know. So, but obviously, they had time to prepare. Yeah. I think the performance itself was not too bad. I mean, let's not, you know, the guys did okay, you know. Obviously, first game, Chitters, you know, big stage, you know. I think there's a lot more to come from them. I really think, and also Japan. I mean, obviously, they came in hot.
Yeah,
you know, they made sure with Yazin we're home here. We need to make sure.
Yeah,
you know? But I think let's give them a chance. I can't be too harsh on the boys. I can't be too hard on them.
What do you make of it?
So for me, the biggest thing with South African football was players' discipline. I've never been a fan of how players are not disciplined in the craft and like football. Like, can you stay disciplined throughout the whole season? Mm. But what I like with these young guys is the fact that they are serious about their football, and they're not out there like socially. Like, you know, like, I think they take football very, very seriously. Exactly. So, and the game against Japan, I think it was 1-0.
Yeah.
They still hope, you know, and I'm gonna give that 1-0 to the fact that Japan had home ground advantage. Okay. You know, they played really well. You were playing in your home turf, and you get young players who, you know, it's maybe their first time in Japan, jitters, like you said. Yeah. So, I think it's too early to actually have an opinion on them.
Okay.
Let's just see how they play throughout the tournament. Then I'll.
Yeah, game 2 and 3. After game 2 and 3,
exactly. Then I'll be like.
Then we'll have something to say.
Yeah,
it'd just be nice. I think, sorry, just one more point. I think for me, also, another thing that we must also take into consideration, right? You must understand that, and this is something I fault the junior national teams for quite a lot, even when we were still playing Lulu, is that you find that some players are still playing based on who they are.
Yeah.
Based on names. Whereas you look at Utebogo Mokoena, very well deserved, I think. Throughout, since he was promoted to the first team in Super Sport, non-stop football, you know what I'm saying? Whereas there are some youngsters who come through because, hey, Lentona be blind.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
Or he knows so-and-so.
Yeah, or does he still have a team? I mean, you know, growing up, we'd have guys making the under 17 national team without clubs.
Yeah.
You ask yourself, wow, coach, you know what I mean? Like, we know he's good, but I mean, we talk about that momentum that we spoke of.
Yeah.
You find that most of these Korean boys, like the Madrid boy, the one who was shiny...
Kubo.
Kubo, Ntwana, Kubo.
Yeah.
So, Kubo, Madrid, you know... It's hot, you know, Navarro Ramos and this and this and that. And, you know, most of them are playing for teams that are well established. And, you know, and then obviously now we have a mix, you know, of some boys are abroad, some boys are in the NFD, other boys are in the PSL. So obviously those stages are not entirely balanced, number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, the competitive nature of those three different spectrums are not the same.
Yeah.
So you find that, obviously, I'm not saying let's all take junior players from Pirates or San, but I'm saying let's try and have a situation where these boys come together more often. You know what I mean?
I was about to
let them come together more often, because you find that Luther Singh, he's been abroad his whole life.
Yeah.
You know? And then we've got Abu Tebza that are in the PSL.
Yeah.
And then you've got other boys that are in the NFT or just came into the NFT, but they're hot.
Yeah.
So now obviously Hintwana just came in. It's a bit tricky, exactly, you know? Yeah. I think our chemistry is...
I was about to ask, actually, so what would be the solution? So you know how with... Is it Wolves, where they have, like, most of the Portuguese players in one team?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with Barca, it was, like, you know, the Spanish national team was also there as well.
Yeah.
And then a few players from, like, Real Madrid and a few players from the other teams. What would be the solution with, like, South Africa?
So, where I have to start from a playing perspective, right? And if we had a clear-set philosophy... A well-refined style of play and structure that everybody knows and adheres to. It's a lot better.
I like that,
because when you get to camp, you already know what's expected of you.
Mm.
When you know the culture of national team football, you already know what's expected of you. Because we all know sitting here the prerequisite of playing for Spanish national team as a midfielder. If I ask you, what is the selection criteria for Bafana Bafana?
We don't have that.
Do you understand? So going back to that then, if we had a well-refined structure and a clear set philosophy which would predicate for a great culture within the national team with regards to selection, then everybody understands that, okay, when I get to national team, this is what's expected of me, right?
Yeah.
When I get to national team, I know that we play in a certain way. You touched on the fact that this one's from Europe, this one plays NFD, this one plays here, well, GLAAD Africa Championship, this one plays DSTV Premiership, so that... to be politically correct at home. So you know that this one plays here, this one plays there, right?
Yeah.
How we bridge that gap and how we balance that is if we have now a system of play that everybody is well informed of.
Yeah.
So if you know that at national team we play 4-4-2, in Spain they play 4-3-3, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
So if you play for Athletic Bilbao and you get a call-up to go play for Spain, you already know that, okay, I play as a right back. So as a right back, what are my responsibilities in a 4-3-3?
Yeah.
Whereas with us, it changes. All of a sudden, the other day, we played with the back five, four, and a one up front. Yeah. My question then becomes, how many of those boys in a back five play in a back five? Malepe doesn't play in a back five. No. Luke Fleurs, who plays for Supersport, they don't play with the back five.
Yeah.
Frosler, okay, understandable because Chiefs do.
Sometimes, yeah, Chiefs do. Yeah.
Mabiliso played for AmaZulu. Yeah. They played in a back four. So already then you say, okay, the understanding. One might then argue, but you guys have enough time to prepare. I understand. However, you have to do something repetitively at a high level.
At a high level. Yeah. At that level, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like you know, studying. Yeah, it's like studying for a math exam, exactly, or something like that. You can't say, okay, today I want to make sure what the X is equals to Y. It must always be a thing. Every day.
That's what happens.
So, and another thing that I don't understand, especially with our national teams, and I'm talking all the way from under zero to wherever.
Yeah.
The issue at hand here is that we've got this sudden... who's hot now?
Yeah.
Selection criteria. Oh, which really messes with us. You know what I mean? I think we should stop basing things on that. I'm all for opportunity, like I said. I'm all for chances and everything. But let's have chances that make sense.
Build a structure.
Exactly. Because you see when we had... there was a time... We knew if we have Zungu and we have Ukekana at some point, you know, we knew that somewhat we have an idea, you know, of where we're going in terms of the squad, you know. Abosirero, that's the three.
Something.
And then we have, you know, then we knew where we're going. Pesita, the side one.
Yeah.
Like similar to the time where we actually knocked out Egypt in the AFCON.
Yeah.
That squad was a squad where we all knew we know we might know who's starting. But now it's like, hey, who's hot this season?
Okay. Yeah.
Then they go check that Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, who's hot there? Okay, let's take him. Who's hot there? I'm all for opportunity, but also this is a national team.
Yeah.
You understand?
You can't be gambling.
You can't be gambling too much. So I think also the selection criteria of our national teams, and I'm talking from all the age groups, is that we must have a culture, like how Spain had a culture.
Yeah.
You know, how German engineering had a culture.
Yeah.
How France had a very, very clean culture when they started out. So I think... it's very important, like you mentioned, the youngsters that you mentioned, Uguti, these boys come from entirely different playing systems.
Yeah.
And then they come in here and then they're like, okay, now what are we going to do? And then somehow, now you coach, now, okay, 4-4-2 this week, 4-3 next week, 4-5-1.
Yeah. You know? And at the end of the day, I've always felt that the systems that we come up with, they don't predicate for consistency at the highest level for the types of players that we have, you know? And... I really don't like that. I mean, we all know what our strengths are as South African players. Can we stick to that? The Spanish stick to that.
Yeah,
the Brazilians stick to that. They stick to what makes them good, you know. And if you stick to that, and it goes back to the culture that I was mentioning, when you get to the national team camp, you know what's expected of you. Yeah. It's everybody fitting into this regime that has already been preconceived.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah,
as opposed to us making things up as we go.
As we go.
So, going to the game against Japan, I have to... differ with both of you guys. I think it was bad. I think it was horrible. And I'm gonna call a spade a spade. And the reason why I say that is because in tournament football, the first game is the most important.
The first game
sets the tone, right? And if you have a look at who we're gonna play next, it's France and then it's Mexico.
Oh my God.
Mexico belted France 4-1, and then France. We touched on France and some of the young players and the quality that they have.
Yeah.
You know, so. Looking at that,
it's only going to get harder, basically.
It's only going to get harder. And actually, I'm saying that, right, with Japan, a lot of us in South Africa, we only know a couple of players, Yokubo and Yoshida, who captains them, who played for Southampton.
Yeah.
So when I say it was bad, because we respected them too much. You know, and the reason why I say that is whenever
we're actually set back,
exactly.
Right? So we were
whenever
game. Yeah.
exactly whenever we lost the ball in midfield, we would just revert to a back five.
Yeah,
you know. Whereas
I saw that.
Yes.
When we lose it, it's like okay, train. Behind the ball,
behind the ball, everyone.
Just behind the ball. We'll see from there.
Whereas sometimes people don't realize that in football, to create opportunities, you don't always have to have the ball at a primary level. However, counter pressing, win the ball, goal score.
Yeah,
you understand. That's also a chance of creating opportunities to score.
Yeah.
So at times we lose the ball and then we retreat to a back five. The four drop. And then Makhopa would come back.
Yeah.
Then for me, it was.
And I'm like, why is Makhopa so far back?
You understand?
That boy, I think, guys, I just want to touch on Makhopa quickly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Makhopa. This boy's a star, Ux. Let's get that out the way. the young man for Barocca.
Yeah.
I mean, what a talent. And with Barocca, udlalale.
Yeah.
It is like talabe sithi uyalalela, ulalelalelele.
Yeah.
Uthola ipole shinet.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's for it. The point. And you know, for this system, I think it
doesn't help him.
It's not helping him at all.
Yeah.
He's not a buya oprese kind of striker.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy. We had Melan Prese. Get the ball to the boy, he'll score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now you're tiring the boy out in the system where he has to now drop.
And
then at some point he's a striker again.
And the worst part is that when you look at him in that game, he was isolated for most parts of the game. And then it forced us then to play these long balls to him. He'll hold it up, but there's only so much he can do with holding up. Because then these guys have to then quickly move up the field, and they were struggling with that.
Yeah.
Secondly, when I look at the lineup, you know, so we started with a 5-4-1. At times it looked like a 3-5-2. At times a 3-4-3.
Yeah.
But when you look at the back, Malepe played as the left-sided centre-back. I think he was very solid. He played very well.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Fleurs, he played as the libero, the centre-back, which is in between the two centre-backs, the right-sided centre-back, left-sided centre-back. On the right side, as the right-sided centre-back, we had Mukumela, who I also thought had a very good performance, very strong.
Yeah.
I think our three centre-backs, like, they stood out.
Yeah.
Because they were doing all the work to ensure that we stay in the game. But Mike Qualm is in the midfield, you know, and having a look at Goodman Musele. So personally, look, good player. He's just got his big break. He's going to Orlando Pirates.
Yeah.
However, I personally would have not started him. And I think it showed in the game as well.
Yeah,
he struggled.
Who would you have started?
I personally would have started Tabotlele and Mukwena as a double pivot.
Okay.
And I say Tabotlele because if you look at Tabotlele, in my opinion,
he commands it.
In my opinion,
what a commanding young man.
In my opinion, Tabotlele was our best player on the day, right? With regards to the fact that he was brave, he always wants the ball, and from deep areas, he's very good at playing.
And he fetched it.
Exactly.
There were points of the game where he'd go past Goodman.
Exactly.
To go fetch the ball
so then my point is then, so then why do you have Goodman there? Because Goodman is counterproductive to what we're trying to do.
Mm.
Secondly, the only way we were going to get out of our own half is if we had midfielders who could retain the ball and rotate it better. Musele struggled at that. So I'll take a Musele out.
And he lost quite a couple of balls.
You understand? Unnecessarily so. Exactly. So in the middle, then, I then would have gone with two options. I then would have started a Tabotlele with a Mukwena. And then in front of them, as a playmaker, I would have gone with Kosipile Ngom. And the reason why I would have gone with the three of them in midfield is because they are all very comfortable on the ball. A, B, they know how to retain the ball.
Yeah.
They don't lose the ball cheaply.
Oh,
and,
Baba. Hey.
And that's what we needed against Japan. Because every time it went into midfield, we'd lose it. And that's because Tabotlele has nobody to combine with. Mukwena at times was too far. So if you bring Mukwena closer, you bring Tabotlele closer, and you bring Ngobo closer, you've got a great triangulation system which starts in the midfield.
Yeah.
Now we can hold on to the ball a lot better. And if we hold on to the ball, we're able to push Japan.
Yeah.
Let's pin them in. So that we've got Luther Singh getting in a lot closer to Evidence Makgopa.
Yeah.
The other option I would have gone with, KK, Kodisang.
Yeah.
And the reason why I would have gone with Kodisang, because he would have sort of strengthened our right-hand side. That right channel, I felt we lacked.
And he's a quick boy. He's a good player.
Very
he's
quick.
A good player.
So what I like about KK is that he would have balanced our offense, because you would have KK, you'd have Makgopa, and then you have Luther Singh. And then you'd have
Ngobo behind.
Do you understand what I'm saying? With that, then what that would do is that we would able then to get the ball into the final third.
Yeah.
We'd have that penetration. We'd then be able to create those chances for Makgopa. Then we wouldn't see him struggling. And then Makgopa can do what he does best, which is finishing. So I personally think that David Notwana got it wrong with regards to his selection, because I just feel like there's better players we can use. And also it goes back to saying that
philosophy.
Can we get a philosophy, a style of play,
identity,
which would predicate for success on a consistent basis at the highest level.
Yeah.
Also, the one thing that I want to mention is that when you look at our wing backs, Reef Rosla and Mabiliso, they struggled a lot. Because what Japan were very good at, this is how they play, right? They build up through the middle. They overload one side. They look to switch. And when they switch, they attack the opposite channel.
Yeah.
That's how Kubo's goal came about.
Yeah, exactly.
So the two wingbacks, in my opinion, they were not quick enough to closing down. As soon as that ball goes wide, you need to close down. No crosses, no cutting in, you know?
Yeah.
And because what happens is, if Japan didn't cross it, they'd cut in. Whenever they crossed it, then you had to see Tereshis Malepe doing amazing things
amazing
to clear
things,
the ball.
Yeah. And I think
you know?
Also, just to touch on your point there, if Reeve could start, surely Ngobo could start.
Yeah.
Because if it was a rest chat, Reeve was also part of the Kaiser Chiefs team that played the final. So Ngobo now could have played the final.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I think also Ngobo, it goes back to what we were speaking about in terms of Pedri.
Yeah.
Young men need to play.
Yeah.
You know, I think also, and also if you look at it from a Evidence Makgopa perspective, homeboy needs someone that's going to do the dirty job right behind him.
Yeah.
And Ngobo has done that exceptionally well for Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point where I stand to be correct, actually I don't. No one's the best player for Kaiser Chiefs. Mapolova Jayab, you were the best. He was the best player for Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah.
So for me, have that boy in there, keep that momentum. He's well, still hot. Let the boy keep running. You
let
know
him
what
play.
Saying? Straight from Egypt. Throw him, I mean, he just played the Champions League final.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Put that boy in there. Let him show why he was playing the
actually,
final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, and also having Utebza as well as
Utele.
Having Utebza and Utele there would have made the boy's life so easy, because even back home, when I say back home Chiefs, he's got a Katsande and he's got
Blom.
He's got a Blom there. You know that that's something he's used to. People that are behind him making sure that it's clean.
Yeah,
like he was just run and be nice and look pretty, you know?
Yeah.
And he does look pretty when he's got the ball, he's an exceptional player, you know?
Yeah.
So I really think him feeding Evidence is something we'd all be glad to see in the next game, because honestly speaking, this formula didn't work.
Yeah,
you know?
it just didn't
so,
work.
Yeah.
So and also now when I look at it, I personally going into the next couple of games, the next two group stage games, look, you've got nothing to lose. Go out and play some football.
Yeah.
Because at this rate, you're ready. At this rate, the bags are packed. You're coming home.
Just
bought. At
this rate, zip.
Like, you know, at this rate, you're coming home.
Yeah.
So personally, what I would do is, if I was David Ntwane, I'd change the system. I'd go to a back four, right? Keep it conservative. Yes, I like Mabiliso on the left, because defensively, he's a lot more sound. And he's not the best going forward, but have him as a left back, have him tuck in, and then you'll have your three centre backs who played. You'll have Malepe as the left sided centre back, then you'll have Fleurs as the right sided centre back. I like Mukumela.
At right back, because he played quite a lot at Ajax, well now Cape Town Spurs.
Cape Town Spurs.
He played a lot at right back for Ajax.
Yeah.
Cape Town Spurs.
Yeah.
Ah, sort of a fit.
Yeah.
you guys keep changing names also, guys. But anyway, he played well for Cape Town Spurs at right back.
Yeah.
He was very solid,
exactly.
You know. Even after Harold's departure, he held it down.
Exactly.
So I really still believe that keep the boy at right back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same.
Give him that chance and then let's see what the boys can give.
So personally, I would forgo the wing back system, because I just think it didn't work for us. A, B,
and I don't think we're that quick.
Thank you.
So and secondly, another thing with the wing back system is that we allow them to attack our left sided and right sided center halves, and that channel was exposed.
Yeah.
So better have a four that's compact, right, where you don't have the two full backs overlapping too much. Why? Because up front, the three I would have Singh as the on the left side coming in. You have Cody Sang on the other side.
You don't need anyone else to pace up.
Yes, you don't need anybody else. So let's keep the discipline. So if you want to be conservative, let's keep a back four, a compact back four. Have Tele and Debza there as the double pivot. Have Ngobo as the playmaker. And then my three up front, you've got KK on the right. You've got Makgopa up front. You've got Luther Singh. Let KK deal with his man one-on-one.
One-on-one.
Let Luther Singh deal with his man.
These are
one
players.
One, and they can.
These are great
1v1.
Players.
1v1. And let Ngobo, Mshin, Laisent, let him create. Do you understand?
I think the best thing about Ngobo is that he can suck in the two centre-backs to a point where Makgopa will always just be one man.
Yeah.
Because that boy, you need about three men to stop that young man. Ngobo is a quality player. I think it'll be great to have him there just to shake things up.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that he brings that flair that we all know him to have. You know,
definitely.
I honestly think he's a great player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, guys, by the time this comes out, we could have played against Mexico. However, my man Bongani I trust you will do the things. Maybe it'll come out before. But anyway, I want us to preview and have a look at those two games. What do you guys think going into those two games from this performance? Do you guys think that we can pick up points and get out of this group? Or do you think it's curtains?
Here's what I think. From a Mzansi boy perspective. I'm being hopeful, man. Coach, please.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
There are two ways this can go, and I'm going to speak on both games, both upcoming games.
Yeah.
In terms of Mexico, right, they just smashed France. France is known to be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
We could play on the arrogance right now.
Yeah.
We could actually, because they beat France, they think, Africa, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas we could come out guns blazing. We've got nothing to lose, pure underdog situation.
Just play.
Where we just play and just try our best to actually hit them on the arrogance.
Yeah.
And then in terms of France, obviously, I hope Japan murders them, because if Japan can do that to France, they'll be killing a wounded dog already.
Yeah.
You know? Because already in their minds, I've let down Mbappe, I've let down Pogba. Yeah. So they're quite low, you know what I mean? So we could hit on that.
Yeah.
You know? So I think if we can work on the Mexican arrogance for now, and I mean it like not that the arrogance,
I'm just speaking for the lack of a better term.
If we can work on the mix, if we can pounce on the Mexican arrogance, as well as make sure we vulture off of France's low self-esteem right now, we could have a chance.
Yeah.
But football wise,
come on. I think
it's all mental now.
Yeah.
We have to
psychological.
I think it's curtains. And I think I think it's done. So guys, let's just play. I think it's done.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's done. So the next two games should just be kids, now let's just create a system that's gonna help us
going forward.
But
that's the problem that we always have with us. It's always about the forward, guys. Listen, the time is right now. When Thomas Tuchel, yes, I digress a bit.
Yeah.
I'll come back.
Yeah.
Thomas Tuchel got to Chelsea. He said, the time to win trophies is right now. Not in five seasons, three seasons.
Fair.
I'm not building. I'm using what I have now, right? Cool. Let's shift it to the landscape of our under-23, right? The time is right now. You're at the Olympics now.
Yeah.
Can you make the most of what you have?
Fair.
Yes, I will admit that from a footballing perspective, that they're streets ahead of us, right? But the game still has to be played.
No,
and if there's anything we've learned from COVID football, and I call it COVID football because of what has happened,
it was very different.
We've seen underdogs being able to beat some of the best teams.
Okay, fair.
And because
those teams
came out, and you know what? We didn't play on the back foot, we played on the front foot. Don't respect them. They're human just like you are, you know? And if we can get, like I say, it goes back to the system, it goes back to the structure, the philosophy, and the foundation.
Exactly.
The players.
Exactly.
I think we've got quality players.
Exactly. We've got players who
can
play.
These boys
can go. Do you understand? If you allow them to just play, you know, so coach, Mr. Notwane, please, if you can let these guys just play, and I say let them play, because if you check what happened against Japan in the last 10 minutes, we started coming alive. All of a sudden, Korisang is beating players.
Yeah.
Tele now is getting into the mix. It's like, where was this for the past 80 minutes?
I think touching back on our structure as a whole now, with regards to the Tele Musele debate, I think Musele should be the guy that we bring on to solidify.
Yeah.
You know,
to kill the game.
He's a solid player, that one. To break down play, to ensure that we win those fouls, just to make sure that he breaks down the opposition player. Because I think having a Tele that is strong and creative, a Mokoena that is strong and creative, it helps us. We have that confidence to say, okay, we are covered. The back four is covered.
Yeah.
Covered.
You know, then that way Musele can come in and just say, yes, in majesty.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
That's it.
So
I think, okay.
Going into the next two games.
I honestly think.
Curtains.
No, it is.
Okay.
It is. I'm not even. Come on.
Yeah.
It is like it's done, right?
Yeah.
And rather we just play, right? But
I
would love for us to actually have a future in mind in terms of philosophy. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
With this squad, because this squad is my next FIFA World Cup squad, hopefully we, you know, or AFCON, you know, like, you know.
AFCON at least.
Yeah,
let
me say AFCON.
I've heard at least
AFCON.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so this is my next AFCON squad. Okay, cool. Let me create a philosophy and let's go with it. I'm not saying they shouldn't play. Players should play, but like now be strategic, right? And don't hold back. Since it's curtains, I'm like, got nothing
to lose.
It's
been curtains. It's been curtains.
Okay.
We have nothing to lose. So rather.
Yeah, let's just.
So let's wrap it up. Do we qualify for the next round or not?
No, we don't.
Season?
I don't see us qualifying, man. I love you boys, but yeah, I don't see us happening, man. I think.
And you?
Yeah. And you?
I don't see us qualifying. And you know, guys, on Disky Talk with Leolo, I keep it objective as possible. Usually with my predictions, 90% to 95% spot on. So I don't see us because for me, it's a psychological barrier. And I also don't see Mr. Notwane getting out of his ways and saying, you know what, let me allow the boys to play.
Yeah.
So we've come to the end of a very special episode of Disky Talk with Leolo. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. And going forward with regards to the Olympics, I do hope that the African teams which are representing us are able to have some good showings and good performances and advance. However, that's the end of it. Guys at home, please do weigh in on this episode and do let me know what you felt about the episode and the different segments that we ran through. So, Koketso, thank you very much for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
I thoroughly enjoyed this. Cesar, thanks a lot, brother.
You know, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, man. Who is a food? You know, share my YouTube.
Hey! Definitely. All right. This is Disky Talk with Leolo, signing out.